Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, we're continuing our series of political profiles today. Again, we've got 19 candidates involved in primaries. And we haven't got 19 days to give them each a show, so we're splitting everything in half. And today, Chris Blevins is with us. He's one of the candidates, one of the five candidates for York County Sheriff. And in the second half of our show, Everett Stubbs will be with us. He's running for State Senate District number 17. So here we are with Chris Blevins. Chris and I just met officially about 10 minutes ago. So tell me a little bit about Chris Blevins.
All right. I'm Chris Blevins. I worked for the Sheriff's Office for over 26 years. I started my career there, and I ended my career. My first stint there was in 1994 as a reserve deputy, where you didn't get paid. You showed up to work and rode with other deputies. My time there, of course, you know, I had many different assignments, from patrol to narcotics to detective division to back to patrol as a supervisor, then supervised a traffic unit. Then I supervised what they called the anti-crime team. And then I finished up, my last assignment was district commander for District 1, which is the York, Sharon, Hickory, Smyrna, McConnell's. Also had several secondary assignments. I was on the SWAT team for over 10 years. I was a handler for the K-9 unit. I had a stint with the Mounted Patrol, rode horses for a little while.
You've done it all.
Yeah, done a little bit. I was the 16th Circuit South Carolina Law Enforcement Network 16th Circuit Coordinator, which we coordinated traffic events in both York and Union County, and had a small budget of grant money that we had to distribute through all the municipalities and the counties of Union and York.
Right.
So I've done a little bit of everything there.
So you retired how many years ago?
I retired it was 2020s when I retired.
So four years ago.
Yeah, about 4 years ago.
And what have you been doing to put food on the table the last 4 years?
Well, me and my wife, she was also a 911 dispatcher.
Ah.
And so together we have a coach. She was a supervisor there. And together we've had 55 years of combined service for the community.
Yeah.
But we explored our entrepreneurship, and we owned a few small businesses that, you know, it was fun.
Nothing like being a business.
Yeah, nothing like being a business owner. It's fun, but it's tough.
Yeah.
And you didn't have monthly struggles. You had daily struggles.
Okay.
Trying to build your customer base up, trying to make sure that your equipment was always running state-of-the-art equipment so that you can draw your customers in. So we did that. We still own a few small businesses, but we have recently just started selling those businesses off.
All right. So here you are. What possesses you to get back into this after 26 years and with 4 years off?
Yeah, I've always had a passion for law enforcement, always will. Even when I got out, I still did a few things for law enforcement agencies financially, just, you know, calendars and stuff to that nature. But I always wanted to be the sheriff. I always thought it would be a challenging job to have, and that you could really make an impact in the community and an impact with the employees at the agency that you're serving. So I thought it would never present itself. And when this GOP opened the race back up,
right,
then I took it as my opportunity that the good Lord said, hey, here's your chance.
Right.
And if you want to take it, it's here. And
it is interesting. Once a sheriff gets in office, they seem to stay a long time.
Yes, sir.
Here in York County, at least. It may be the way across the state. I have no idea. So the sheriff's job, I mean, I really don't understand what a sheriff does, but I would imagine a lot of it has to do with just administrative stuff.
Yes, sir.
Because you got whatever 150, 200 people, and that's a lot of juggling that you have to do to make sure everything works right. Have you had experience in that?
Well, on a smaller scale, yes.
Okay.
You know, we've all, even when I was a district commander, when I was the commander over the ACT team, you know, you have to. It's a little different. You have to administrate the people that's working for you. Plus, you really need to go out and be in the streets with them.
Right.
Also, so most of when I started running my businesses is when I really recognized and seen how tough the struggle is on managing people.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff's office is a little bit easier. But when you're running your own private business and you're the man that depends on the business opening the doors every day, then you see that it is tough to manage people and manage a business.
Okay, so let's make the assumption that you are elected to be the sheriff.
Yes, sir.
What kinds of things do you see yourself bringing to the table to, you know, keep the department moving forward like it's been doing for the last almost 30 years, I guess?
Well, everything has to be budget friendly. You have to make sure you don't want to go in there and raise a bunch of taxes. So you have to make sure everything's budget friendly. But there's several units that need a significant manpower increase to be able to fight the crime that's out there now. Just strictly talking about the drug enforcement unit. They need an increase. So what I'm going to have to do is we're going to have to go in there and find grants to allow us to purchase equipment, supply SROs, so that we can free some of that money up so that we can find the money for the manpower to increase these enforcement units.
You know, that's interesting you bring that up, because I think every police agency that I'm familiar with has got openings. I mean, the money's budgeted for those slots, but they can't find people. You know, and the whole world's gone crazy since COVID.
Yes,
I mean, it's just nuts. Finding people to do any kind of job is very difficult, let alone one as taxing as law enforcement.
Yes.
So what are you going to do to try to find people? I mean, the money's already budgeted. And I don't know, maybe you have to put some more dollars in those slots. I have no idea. But still, you need to have a pool of applicants from which to pull from.
Yeah. Well, the sheriff's office has a great recruiting program. They do. They have. It works.
Okay.
And I think that the sheriff's office, the enforcement side, is fully staffed right now. But our detention side, it is understaffed. They did drop the age to 19, mm-hmm, to allow to get some younger people in there. And another avenue that I'm looking at is I want to start a cadet program in the high schools. You give them that option and let them get a little look at what law enforcement's all about. And maybe when they graduate, they could go ahead and look at starting in our detention center and working up from there.
Right.
So I would like to start a cadet program starting somewhere around middle school, to where you can go in there and say, hey, look, if you wish to be in this cadet program when you get to high school, you're going to have to keep your grades up. Just like any type of sports that they do. Uh-huh. Your attendance record's got to be good. You can't have a bunch of disciplinary actions brought against you. And give them something to shoot for so when they get to high school, they can join that program.
Right. Okay, that's a good idea. What else would you – I mean, you talked about the need for more people and some equipment, particularly in the drug enforcement unit.
Yeah.
This cadet program. What else do you think that you could bring to the table?
As in what?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to see. Let me put it this way. Would you agree or disagree that the sheriff's department over the last 28 years or so has been moving in the right direction in terms of being, you know, a better department than it was 30 years ago?
Yes, sir. I think the sheriff's office has always been moving forward.
Okay.
There is room for improvement in anything.
That's what I'm looking for, in
yes,
terms
sir.
Of what you would see as something else you could add to the improvement side of it.
One of the things that I would like to see that would a retention-based issue is I would like to see a more of a better career ladder. give them career paths that they can travel. If they choose they want to go down the detective's path of their career, give them that path. But also in that path, there is an opportunity to branch off of that and change their career path. Don't get stuck on this one road that you're on. You say, oh man, I chose this, but now I'd really like to be this. So I want a career path program in place that will allow them, that they know, hey, look, if I meet this minimum requirement here, then I can get this job.
Right. Interesting. Okay, so I'm sure that you have learned an awful lot, good and bad, from this whole election process.
Yes, sir.
It's a lot different than being a sheriff's deputy.
Yes, sir.
A lot different than running one of your private businesses, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
You find out who your friends are.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting is, I think I've interviewed, you're the third sheriff's candidate, and I think it's refreshing that I haven't heard any one of the candidates saying anything negative about the other candidates.
Yes, sir.
You all seem to have extensive careers in law enforcement. You've been there, you've done that, and you see this as an opportunity to move up that ladder, as you talk about.
Since I started this campaign, I have a great respect for anybody that wished to run for public office. This campaign here has been a road. It's been a, I'm not going to say a bumpy road. Let's say it's a gravel road. But the people that I'm running with, they've all been easy to get along with, and we are good friends, and you won't hear anything negative from me or from anybody that's helping me in my campaign. I don't have workers, I got helpers, because they are all my friends and my family, and they all support me. They all support the vision that I'm looking for. I'm not running against anybody. I'm running for me. I'm running for my vision. I don't have anybody endorsing me that I went out and solicited to endorse me, because I want to run this on Chris.
Right. All right, so last question, and that is, in your words, in your mind, what differentiates you from the other four? Because lots of people like me don't know all five of the candidates.
Yes,
I'm learning. I've got a unique opportunity to learn. But what differentiates you?
Well, I see each candidate, they have their own strong point. And honestly, they're all different. Every one of us have different strong points. Sets me apart is my businesses that I ran. I mean, I learned the private sector. I learned how to budget money. I learned how to go out and find grant money just to help my businesses grow. I'm a compassionate person. I'm honest. I don't believe in steering anybody in the wrong direction. And if I can help you, I'll be there for you. I'm transparent. I put my phone number out there, man. This phone, you know, it's rang four or five times sitting right here talking to you. I mean, if somebody wants to reach out to me and ask me a question, I want them to be able to get a hold of me. I had a young lady call me yesterday. I was at the Murphy's gas station, me and my wife, and phone rang. It was this nice lady on the phone, and I answered, and she said, are you Chris Blevins running for sheriff? I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, you're answering your own phone? I said, yes, ma'am. And she had a question about animals.
Right.
And you know, I tried to do the best I could do to answer her questions, but I want to be reachable. I don't want to be closed off. And when I take office, I don't want to be closed off from my employees. I want to be reachable. I want them to be able to answer me a question and not worry about any type of repercussions.
Chris Blevins, thank you for being a candidate, for doing what you're doing. It's not easy. I appreciate you being part of the system, and good luck to you on the 11th of June.
I appreciate y'all inviting me to this.
Sure. His name is Chris Blevins, and he is one of the candidates running for sheriff of York County on June the 11th, so you need to get out there and vote. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, now we can teach the unteachable because we taught Charlie how to do this. We have fresh lust subs and salads here at Substation 2. The way we do it is in the white letters, and we're all going to say it together, even if you work down at Toyota of Rock Hill. Are you ready? At the count of three, how do we do it? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice, slice. Garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Attention, sublovers. Substation 2 is turning 38, and we're celebrating. This is Charlie Ruffalo. Be one of the first 38 customers through our doors on June 6th and win one free sub every month for an entire year. But wait, there's more. The next 38 customers will snag an incredible 38% discount on any one order placed by the end of the year. It's a sandwich sensation at Substation 2. Come join us June 6th as we celebrate 38 years of mouth-watering subs and salads. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Relax with a discounted mortgage rate from Founders Federal Credit Union without paying for discount points. For a limited time, don't pay the 1% fee and get the lower rate. And don't forget, Founders never charges for PMI or private mortgage insurance. Unlock your dream home with a great rate and a Founders expert to guide you through the home financing process. Stop by a convenient office location or apply on Founders online by May 31st to lock in your lower rate. Visit foundersfcu.com/mortgage to learn more. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Equal housing lender.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Sandwich lovers, Substation 2 is celebrating another year of deliciousness. This is Charlie Ruffalo. For 38 years, Substation 2 has been creating signature subs piled high with premium meats and cheeses and big delicious salads with lots of fresh veggies. On June 6th, our first 38 customers will win one free sub every month for an entire year. And the next 38 customers will snag an incredible 38% discount on any one order. Enjoy a taste of tradition crafted with love for 38 years and counting. Substation 2, where every bite is a celebration. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, and we're pleased to introduce Everett Stubbs. He is the candidate, one of the candidates for the State Senate District number 17. And welcome, Everett.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you having me.
All right, so tell everybody about the... Not Everett Stubbs.
I got you. Yes, sir. So, well, obviously, my name is Everett Stubbs, and I live here in Rock Hill, over by Oakdale School, and married to my beautiful wife, Caroline. She was Caroline Rockholt before becoming Caroline Stubbs. We have two wonderful kids that are in Rock Hill Schools. We have Rhett, who's actually Everett the fourth.
Uh-huh.
And then we have Ann Margaret. Rhett's 9 and Ann Margaret's 5. They're the joys of our life.
Really. Good for you. Good for you. So what do you do professionally?
I'm an attorney in Chester. So I came to this area. I was born and raised in Greenville. My dad was a cop, worked for the Greenville County Sheriff's Department. Office, I should say. And then my mom actually has been working for the Greenville Hospital System. She graduated from that place right across the street with a teaching degree from Winthrop back when it was an all-women's college. And she's set to retire tomorrow after 55 years with the Greenville Hospital System, which is, you know, it's changed names 100 times. Now it's Prisma, I believe. So
what does your mama say to you when you told her that you're going to run for public office?
What are you thinking? that seems to be the common thread amongst folks, and you know, this decision was something that we realistically, my wife and I really debated and, you know, went back and forth on. But there were two questions that kept coming back is, one, do you think you can win? And I, you know, obviously feel very good about that. But two, can I be effective for the people if I do win? And so I feel very strongly that I can be a good, effective voice for us in Columbia. And so, you know, a bunch of folks have asked me to run for political office. This wasn't something on my bucket list or whatnot. But, again, this public service is what it is. And I hear from a lot of people about, you know, politicians being in it for themselves. And I look at this as a personal sacrifice personally.
You know, and I'm sure you're a smart guy. This being in elected office,
yes,
takes an awful lot of time.
A ton of time.
I mean, all you got to do is talk to anybody who's in the slot, whatever the slot is. I don't care if you're city councilman, county councilman, you know, member of the state legislature. It's another job. I mean, it is another job.
Yes, sir.
Now, in your case, you work for yourself. As I tell my son who's in the commercial real estate business, you eat what you kill.
That's right.
And when you get away from hunting what you're going to kill, I mean, for a state job, I mean, that's a big sacrifice.
It is. And you know, I've seen that. I'm blessed with a great support system when it comes, you know, to my profession. There are four of us lawyers in the firm, and so a lot of times people are able to fill in for me or handle something if I'm not available. But realistically, at the end of the day, this does take financially a toll on running. So
really?
that's a sacrifice that my wife and I were willing to make. I mean, it's a necessary evil, as I say. So.
Okay, so are there any particular issues that you want to work on for District Number 17, which, by the way, is a mixture of York County and Chester County? And
it's one of the largest geographical.
It's huge.
It's huge. It's all of Fairfield County, all of Chester County, Southeast York County. We're sitting in the district right here, and it even brings in part of the Van Wyck community over in Lancaster County.
Oh my
so
God.
It's we joked around. I was in eight parades, but I should have been in 14, but a bunch of them were scheduled at the same time, you know, back at Christmas. And but this really has been a blessing getting to know everybody. And,
oh, yeah.
But let me get back to the question that you asked. So and I brought you this palm card because I want you to see it, and I call it the game plan.
This is such an intense game plan. I need my reading glasses to read it.
Yes, sir.
This is small type.
Well, and this is what I'm giving to the voters, right? Because people, you know, there's all kinds of highly political things or polarizing things. And, you know, but what does the everyday voter want? They want to make sure that they have good jobs that pay decent wages. They want to send their kids to good schools. And then they want to see their tax dollars being used to, you know, do meaningful things in their lives. And so the top three issues that I have are infrastructure, education, and public safety, going from the bottom up. And those aren't in any particular order, but police is public safety is a huge issue. I mean, we all see the crisis that we have at the southern border in this country, the fentanyl deaths that are happening, the violent crimes. There's a lot of issues that we need desperately to address, and we have to back our blue. Again, I come from a law enforcement family, so it just comes naturally for me. One of my largest supporters in this is Max Dorsey, the sheriff of Chester County. He really was one of the people that highly encouraged me to jump into this race. And so they're at the forefront of what is near and dear to me.
Let me stop you on this, on the public
sure.
safety. Everybody agrees with that. But you know, one of the burning issues down there right now is the way we elect judges in this state.
It's got to change. It absolutely has to change. Judicial reform is something that I'm intimately familiar with. And so what we essentially have is, you know, a handful of legislative members that are on what's called the Judicial Merit Selection Committee. And they're essentially picking our judges. And that's an atrocity to the people of South Carolina, in my opinion. Sure, the General Assembly ends up voting on them, but the top three are all that get through that JMSC, that committee. And, you know, practically speaking, you would think it'd be the top three candidates. Well, or theoretically speaking, you would think that's what's happening, but practically speaking, they're picking who they want and kind of sending a couple other token candidates through.
So, it really isn't a clean system.
It's not.
When you consider those lawyers have a good chance of bringing cases before that judge who they elected to that position.
That's correct.
It stinks. Okay, so education. What magic wand do you have for education?
Well, so this is what I have a family full of educators. My mother-in-law, Becky Ferris, is a retired teacher from Richmond Drive right back here behind us. My sister's a teacher in Greenville. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law, both teachers. My niece is actually in school at the University of South Carolina to become a teacher. And what I fear is that we are losing teachers in droves. And the reason for that, I think, is that we have gotten very top-heavy when it comes to school budgets. We're spending way too much money on administrative costs and not paying our teachers and retaining and recruiting good quality professionals to teach our children. I mean, every day, who impacts my children the most that are in Rock Hill Public Schools are the teachers in the classroom. And those are the people we need to focus on when we're actually drafting legislation.
Well, we don't have enough time for me to get on my table again and start pontificating about this.
That's crazy.
It's crazy that we bring all these industries here that want the best of the best, and we don't have the best of the best in the classroom to produce what the industries want. Anyway, it's a whole other story.
Yes, sir.
We're going to run out of time. Infrastructure.
So what I've personally seen, and we represent both the Chester Sewer District and the Chester Metropolitan District, is that we're not receiving our fair share of the Columbia funding in District 17. Okay, and I don't mean this, you know, derogatorily towards the current senator, but I've seen it with my own two eyes. When it comes to roads, bridges, sewer, water, electricity, you know, the necessities of life, and these are the keys to economic growth as well. You know, so we're not getting our fair share of that budget that's already there, and I think that we're paying the price for that. So what I want to do is go be a more effective person for the local folks in Senate District 17 to receive our fair share. And again, we're also utilizing a lot of funds, in my opinion, when it comes to the roads and things of that nature, in a wasteful manner. We're putting Band-Aids on bullet holes. We need to actually make good, meaningful reform to these various infrastructure, you know, roadways and bridges. It's pretty pitiful where things are.
Big issue now with the cost of repaving roads and building roads, double what it was 4 years ago. I mean, it's just crazy. Okay, we're rapidly running out of time.
Yes.
Quick question. In 30 seconds, what do you feel differentiates you from the others that you're running against?
Well, and just experience in the community. I really think that, you know, people ask me, I've been involved in a bajillion things, whether it's nonprofits or government agencies or whatever. And, you know, I just feel like my familiarity with the people and with the district are what sets me apart. I'm not a guy, I didn't run to, you know, take shots at other people. I think they're, you know, fine fellas and wish them the best of luck and trust the good Lord and the people with whatever decision they make.
His name is Everett Stubbs, and he is running for your vote in the June 11th primary. He's one of three candidates that are in the June 11th primary, so get out there and vote. Everett, good luck to you. Thanks for being part of the system and running.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, we got brilliant people around this table like we do every day, with the exception of him over here. No, right. So we make fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week. The reason that people keep coming back here day after day after day is not to see Robert Beatty, but it is to have a good fresh sub or salad. Here we go. How do we do it? 1, 2, 3. Slice.
Garden.
All right. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.